Today we're going to be talking about Mark Fisher. Capitalist Realism, Is There No Alternative? 2009. Fisher was a British academic, author, and teacher. He achieved his initial success blogging with the alias K-Punk in the early 2000s, where he was known for his writings on radical politics, music, and pop culture. He wrote Capitalist Realism, Is There No Alternative? In 2009. He contributed to some other publications, The Wire, The New Statesman. He's also co-founder of Zero Books, The Weird and the Eerie, which he wrote shortly before his death, and Post-Capitalist Desire, which were the series of lectures that he was giving around that period. They're all very good. They're all available on Audible if you don't have the time to read, and they're all very accessible. He's definitely worth putting some time in if you've not come across him before. I'll just give an overview of the central themes of capitalist realism. So he starts with the quote from Frederick Jameson, "It's easier to imagine an end to the world than it is an end to capitalism." He mentions Zizek in the book as well as also having a similar argument or theme. So Fisher is developing this idea. He says that for Jameson, postmodernity is the cultural logic of late capitalism, and it's dominated by pastiche and relativism and revivalism. Much of his critique, though, was written in the 1980s, and it was a response and reflection on a world in which there were still viable alternatives to capitalism. Fisher claims that now we live in a world in which these alternatives no longer exist. Fisher makes the point that postmodernism was always contrasted and thought about in its relationship to modernity. And here he highlights people like Adorno, who viewed culture in hierarchical terms, and as such, sort of high culture was still seen as some kind of defense against the corrosive effects of mass culture that the Frankfurt School would argue limited the revolutionary potential of the working class. What Jameson points out in his work is that much of modernity's critical potential has now been incorporated into capitalism itself. So earlier critiques of Frankfurt School's position are now incorporated within capitalism. Fisher goes even a step further than Jameson. So Fisher describes what's developing here under capitalist realism is the confrontation with modernity. And to quote Fisher here, "On the contrary, it takes the vanquished and the vanquishing of modernism for granted. Modernism is now something that can be periodically returned, but only as a frozen aesthetic style, never as an ideal for living." So even the possibility of something like youth subcultural resistance itself has shifted from the aggressive critique of punk and later rock music, and is now largely eclipsed by what he calls a hard-headed embracing of a brutally reductive version of reality. And this new perspective, this uncompromising reality that seeks in some sense to uncover the real world in which we define by an almost Hobbesian war of all against all. This stripping away of myth to a real that is beyond the social fluff of previous generations' cultures is now, Fisher claims, presenting a version of reality stripped back to a hard reality. In a similar gesture, artists of genres such as hip-hop or gangster movies of the late 90s and early 2000s, since Fisher wrote this, music like drill or grime and other variants of hip-hop, which prioritize profit and loss, pure capital, they're no longer any form of resistance but are reflecting the very codes of capitalism itself. This drive towards a reality stripped of any alternative but presented as just the way it is or the taken for granted is capitalist realism. It's a realism stripped of any reason beyond its own logic of productivity. The book develops its critique through, among other things, readings of film, music, education, managerialism, and bureaucracy. He later defined it in another lecture that capitalist realism could be thought of a receding of consciousness in culture. Capitalist forms of subjectivity and business ontology replace values. What it means to be human, both how we engage with broader society, but crucially our own innermost thoughts and desires, are now understood in a framework structured through a business ontology with its signs, symbols, its targets, and its grades. What we are going to do is hopefully pass around some ideas or any thoughts that we have on the book, and in particular his critique of education, managerialism, but you know, we'll see how it goes or where it goes.